on, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of The Vile Files. Are we calling it Freestyle Edition until further notice?
That's fun.
Yeah, right? Because it's kind of like, well, Kale Lowry, our guest. These are always weird because we had such a tight turnaround that we do our intros before or after our guests, but with our Tuesday episodes, our guests are part of our intros.
Okay, Kale. Understood.
And so it's kind of like because we have to pump it out. We got to get it out. Anyway, Kale Lowry's with us today. We need to get in the housekeeping notes just because we've had some changes in the scheduling this week. Clayton and Susie won't be on today's episode. They'll be on tomorrow's episode.
Okay.
Because Josh Peck won't be on tomorrow's episode because he apparently is filming a Christopher Nolan movie and had to do pickups today. So that's a good enough excuse to cancel. I mean, he told us on Friday, I don't know, I might have to do some pickups. But apparently Josh Peck's in a Christopher Nolan movie.
That's so exciting.
Congrats to him.
Now we have new things to talk about with him after his podcast tour.
We playfully joked that he has this really good book out and he's done a lot of podcasts and we try to get exclusives on this show. But Josh Peck's a big deal. We love him. We're a fan. And then we kind of joked that we're going to somehow try to get him to say something he hasn't said.
Right. That's the...
Because he's done... a lot of podcasts.
But we need him to say something new on your podcast.
We want, that's what we hope for.
Of course.
Anyway, he's not going to be on tomorrow's episode. It will be Clayton and Susie and my friends, Matt King and his girlfriend, Patricia, to do a mediation call about what's crossing the line, like expressing, saying, I love you or I'm in love with you when like complimenting someone, like I love like their art or I love what they do, but like in a relationship, does that like, I'm in love with what you do or I love you, or and when it's a person of the opposite sex causes some rifts in a relationship.
Okay.
So anyways, we'll be talking with Matt King and Patricia about that. That's a mediation call. So Clayton, Susie, Patricia, Matt, all tomorrow. Now let's get to today's episode. We're going to talk a little, we'll probably talk a lot of Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial. We'll get into some Selling Sunset, which I personally haven't watched yet, but Kale and Allie stands of the show. I just haven't had a chance yet.
Are we talking about Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah.
We can.
Okay. I just thought that was relevant. Maybe I'm crazy. Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
That also happened.
A lot of violence in the news.
I literally found out last night.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, that happened, a few days ago.
I had no idea. I live under a rock.
Let's just start there.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Mike Tyson was on a flight. Mm-hmm.
Flying coach.
No, he was flying first class.
He was flying commercial airline.
Commercial. Do we think that there's a level of celebrity that I think all assume they fly private?
I mean, it's Mike Tyson. I definitely thought he was flying private.
I mean, at some point, he definitely was.
Right.
And I don't know Mike Tyson's financial situation, but it's been rather, I think it's common knowledge that at least in the past, he's bought a lot of shit.
Okay.
Like Tigers, and like he went through a lot of money
right.
at one point. I know like he famously like loves to feed pigeons, and so like I remember something a few years ago where he would
It's like Spencer Pratt with the hummingbirds.
And he would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on like food for pigeons. So like he spends. So
then that would make sense for why he's flying commercial.
I think there's a lot of
spent it all on the pigeons.
Right. Yeah. And tigers and stuff.
I mean,
they're not strong enough, he can't fly with them. So he has to find a different way.
On the Kardashians episode, I think one or two, Kim talked about how Kanye flew commercial to support her SNL appearance.
But you know what? That's a Kanye move. Like I feel like that doesn't surprise me. Because you just never know what to expect with Kanye.
That's like I did Uber pools when I was The Bachelor, right?
That's
after
fun.
Filming. Yeah.
How did that go?
Fine.
I love an Uber pool. The camaraderie is unparalleled.
Well,
carpool with strangers.
I learned about this was before it was like so like what six years ago, and I had before I was The Bachelor, I was living in LA, and I money was tighter than it is for me now.
Right.
And I had no car and I was just like getting around LA via Ubers. That adds up. And I had this friend of mine, a woman who in her mid 20s, and she was like, you should Uber pool. And I I was like, you Uber pool? It was just, it surprised me that she Uber pooled. And I thought to myself, if you can Uber pool, then I can Uber pool.
It builds character.
It does.
And also, like, it was at a time where people hadn't really discovered Uber pool. So, like, 75% of the time, you're still by yourself and paying 25% of the cost. It was just a no-brainer. And what I would do is I would always sit shotgun. So I would just, if it was an Uber pool, I would get in, sit shotgun. I'd put headphones on. So, like,
they wouldn't talk to you.
They wouldn't talk to you. And no one, most of the time, no one had any idea
that you were, like, in the car.
In the car.
That's always such a power move, getting in an Uber and sitting in the front seat.
Oh, my God. The
Did they
balls.
Ever say anything to you?
No. It was an Uber pool. Like, at some point, like, someone's getting in the front.
Not if it's just the two of you.
Right.
No, but I didn't know.
You gotta
I was
take
like, hey,
plan.
Man.
Yeah.
And so, like, but after I got done filming, I would still Uber pool. And this was, like, when I was getting noticed a lot.
You were hot shit.
No. I mean, anyway. I do think we, the point of all this, I think, celebrities fly a commercial far more than we
like. Oh, I would assume, yeah. I guess
it gets really expensive to fly. I mean, I saw Jennifer Garner. I've seen a lot of celebrities on planes.
Yeah,
Prince Harry used to fly commercial, and they would like work out a thing. He would just be him and like a protection officer in like plain clothes, and they'd figure out a way for him to be the last one on and the first one off, so like no one would notice him. But he would just sit in the front row and then like yeet off the plane.
I mean, I feel like that makes sense, but when you think of like Mike Tyson and then what happened, you just the first thing I thought was, why is he flying commercial?
Because it costs a lot of
pigeons.
Because he fed,
fed too many pigeons.
I also think that it's like people's relationship with money gets cemented so early on. So no matter how much money you make, even though it might like change and morph, there's still that like kind of fundamental, like especially like, I don't know anybody's background, but like in general, like I feel like the money it takes to fly private is probably a really hard pill to swallow no matter what.
Oh my God.
And so it's like, and I think that's the like the thing that I've learned so much about like from like being in LA and like having friends who work for celebrities is that it's like, they still want to save money.
Totally.
Like they still want to be saving money.
Makes sense.
Like in the celebrity world, like especially actors, it's, you can get fired from any job, but there's just less security in this space of like, you just never know where your next paycheck's coming from,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah.
So if you have like extravagant spending habits, this is all to say flying private is really fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. And you know, people always talk about like the first time you fly first class, like
it ruins
everything about flying, and it can get really expensive. Imagine getting used to that. But anyways, Mike Tyson's flying commercial, someone on the flight was inebriated. It seemed like excessively,
extremely intoxicated,
and just
how do you get that drunk on a plane?
I don't know, because
are you kidding?
The flight here, the guy next to me,
a ton of drinks,
super nice. All he was drinking was Jack Daniels.
But like they don't come through enough time.
Oh no, she did.
Oh,
this is, and she even sent him two shots to go.
Oh hell yeah!
This is also coming from Allie, who I have seen pour liquor into like shampoo TSA regulation size bottles to take them through.
Have you?
Yes,
that's really creative.
So here's the process. Here's the process. I'm not recommending it because it's not technically okay, but if you wanted to, you can get those little TSA size bottles, right? You get two of them because whatever, you're flying. You have two different ones, and I put tequila is a little too risky because it smells. I put vodka in both of them, and I add a little bit of lime juice to one, so they look like different ones, and I label them like makeup remover and something else. And I add a little bit of baking soda to neutralize like any odor, and then it also adds a little nice fizzy. Then I put it in a Ziploc bag.
You put baking soda in your alcohol?
Yeah. You can't
can
taste
you drink
it, but it
baking
helps you.
Soda?
Yeah. So anyways, you put it in a Ziploc
bag.
Do you
like to drink that much? Or is this more like a budget thing?
It's a budget thing.
I'm not paying you
It's
enough.
A budget.
I think you're also, you're a problem solver.
I'm a problem solver.
Innovative.
So you put it in a Ziploc bag with like toothbrush and cotton pads because it's makeup remover. And then you go through TSA. And then you go to a store in the airport and you buy like a vitamin water. And then you go to the bathroom and you pour some of the vitamin water out. You put the alcohol in, you shake it up, and you take it on the plane. Meanwhile, your dog's in a carrier watching you do it. And she's like, fuck it, we're doing it again, mom.
And you're peeing on the dog pee pad.
I love
good
this.
For you. But also, like, people, other people who don't smuggle in alcohol.
I have never done this before.
On
guys.
A layover.
It's an idea.
It's a theory.
On a layover, you can get drunk
you
on
go to a
at a Chili's bar, you know?
Oh, yeah. A Chili's so, two. Have you guys ever seen those? Yeah. They're like mini Chili's.
Yeah. Yeah, at this O'Hare.
The bars are always packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I don't if know. It's I like kind 8 of like your idea. People will drink it like 8 a.m. at an airport.
Oh, yeah. At airport? No. Yeah. 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
6 a.m.
5 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how there's like maritime law? I feel like we need a word for like airport law because people are like the most like unfiltered, like animalistic version of themselves. Oh, yeah. Like there are
it's
no
like
rules.
Vacation mode. I remember like having an early flight. It was like a five, like we were there at the time of day where most of like even the Dunkin' Donuts wasn't open yet, you know.
No.
It was that early and people were like going to the bar trying to order Bloody Marys and they're like, we don't start serving alcohol till 6:30, and they were mad.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I try not to fly before 8 a.m. like I won't do it. Yesterday was the first time I've done it in years.
It's a lot.
I just can't. Yourself. And then there's, yeah, you know what? I just do.
It's so easy. Like you're on the flights and you're like, I'll do like a 6 a.m. flight. You forget that you have to get there like 2 hours
well,
earlier.
That's the thing. When you like flying 8 a.m. still means you're getting up at 5.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
And the airport's like an hour and a half from my house.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No,
and I
you.
Think it's okay. I feel like it's almost doable on the way to a vacation, but on the way back, there is nothing worse than when you're like, I sold myself out. Like, I cannot believe I have to do this.
100%.
Yeah. I think if you're coming back, that's why living West Coast is nice because you actually get your day back, but you should never be flying before noon if you don't have to.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, you realize...
See, I don't know, because I did the opposite last night, and I left New York at 7:30, and then I, like, got in here at, like, midnight, and I was like, it's 3 for me now, and that was miserable.
Are you from New York?
No, I was just there for the weekend. Oh, but, okay. Like, doing a really late night is not any better.
I like red eyes, actually.
Well, that's... I love... Anyway, we're
off topic.
Whole episode on how you should fly on flying. Mike Tyson beat the shit out of someone on a plane is what we're talking about. So the discussion is, and very long story short, is this very inebriated, annoying fan was badgering Mike Tyson, and turns out this person, I don't know if this is relevant or not, has an arrest record. Yeah, so he's been arrested for. I don't know if it's being annoying, but like he's been arrested. That's not like a character. Of course, you know, Mike Tyson has been arrested too. So there is that.
But it's context for like another.
This guy's been arrested for just, it sounds like he's been arrested for like being a punk.
So this is like what he does.
Kind of.
Okay.
And I don't know at what point it escalated, but Mike Tyson, a world-class boxer, and to the point where one could argue that his hands are
like registered.
Weapons, like legit mm-hmm. weapons, started punching this guy. So the big question is that like it's not okay to punch anyone. So we're never condoning violence. But at what point, like, do you have the right to like protect yourself from harassment if someone's like really getting in your face? And how many times can you ask them nicely? At what point do you have the right to push back? You know, as someone like, you know, I don't think Mike Tyson should have punched the guy. I'm not saying that, but it's like this guy truly seemed to be asking for it.
And I think that's so frustrating in arguments when someone's behaving super badly and there's an expectation on the other person to just take it, to react calmly. And it's like, at what point are you allowed to respond to crazy with a little bit of crazy of your own?
Right. It's like nobody ever is talking about what they did to provoke you, just the reaction that you give.
Totally. Yeah. And the reality is Mike Tyson being a celebrity, being a boxer, he should be held to a higher standard.
Right.
There is that argument. And
yeah, but it's also but he took a selfie with the guy. Like I think we have like Ezra Miller who's like doing like throwing chairs at women in Hawaii. And this to me feels like a situation where like of course violence never the answer, but like he was trying to be nice. This guy was just like kept antagonizing him right. again and again and again.
But there was nothing to do other than punch him. Like
where was the flight attendant?
Exactly. Like was there an air marshal? Like in Bridesmaids, what's his face? Can we get him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean definitely but also it seems like he's not being charged with anything.
Well, I think the guy didn't.
Got a lawyer.
He wouldn't cooperate
speak.
With
yeah,
police.
He was being uncooperative.
The guy who got punched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I think he realized he fucked up, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he probably sobered up pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a fan of Mike Tyson, kind of an iconic story to get punched by him. Again, like terrible. Terrible and painful, but like.
I thought the same thing.
If you're trying to get a celebrity encounter out of it, like you
I
got
survived
a celebrity
a punch
encounter.
From Mike Tyson. There's Yeah.
It's like you wanted a selfie. You got a video that is on the internet. You're for viral. Everyone.
He's telling that story for the rest of his life.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. With, to your point, with probably great pride.
I couldn't watch the video. My friend tried to show it to me last night. I was like, I don't want to see it. Like, I couldn't see it.
He was just kind of...
Yeah, just he kept going and I was like, turn it off.
It was crazy. Anyways, it's a nice segue to, I think, the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp when we're talking about what's the limit of potentially defending yourself amidst crazy. April is Earth Month, which means a lot of us are giving a little extra to how we treat the planet. And you need a pair of Rothy's. Why? Because it's made with recyclable plastic. You can take plastic that might otherwise go into a landfill and you can make it into like reusable, like quality, fashionable things. Man, the shoes I have, you never would imagine they're made from recyclable plastic. They're incredibly comfortable. And then the best part is they always look new. You could wear them at Coachella and you throw them in the washing machine.
It'll be sparkling.
Sparkling. And they also wouldn't take forever to dry. So give an amazing gift of sustainability and fashion to yourself or a loved one. Certainly love my Rothy's. I always hear compliments of how people look. They have a bunch of different designs. And the best part is they're incredibly comfortable, no breakout period. So to get your pair of Rothy's and feeling better about your footprint in terms of how you affect Mother Earth, get $20 off your first pair today at rothys.com/VIALL. That's rothys.com/VIALL. Canva. Take it away, ladies.
The other day, my friend who works in casting or production texted our friend group chat and she said, does anyone know a graphic designer that my team can hire? And I said, no, but I can use Canva. And she was like, okay, do you want to take a shot at it? And I created an entire flyer for her company and they thought I was a professional graphic designer. They will never need to know the difference.
What more could we say?
It's also like I made the invitation for Ali's birthday party on Canva.
And it was cute too.
It was fun.
Yeah, she packed a lot in there.
Yay.
So even if you're not doing presentations or marketing campaigns for companies, you can look like you hired a professional for cards and gifts for friends.
They have all the Instagram formats. They have story, like grid, etc. Like if you want to up your social presence.
I got someone a print of his dogs for his birthday and they sent me like a digital file. And then in addition to me printing it out for him, I turned it into a screensaver for his phone.
Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. Choose from thousands of templates. They're easy to customize or start from scratch. So to get your Canva Pro and become the professional content creator you always wanted to be, design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/VIALL to get your free 45-day extended trial. That is canva.me/VIALL. canva.me/VIALL. We had Elizabeth on from Variety to talk about it a little bit last week. And I feel like so much has come out since then. It's in a kind of an overwhelming thing. My overall takeaway is this is just continues. I think it's really just sad.
Yeah.
And depressing. And my fear is that it will have long-term ramifications far beyond like what's being talked about. At the end of the day, I think these are two huge celebrities that still only care about how it's affecting them. And I don't know if there's a lot of consideration for how people will perceive this and how it will play a role in society. I mean, there's just such big celebrities. Also, do we know why this is being shown as like a reality TV show? Like, how is it decided whether courts have cameras in or not? Do we know?
I don't know. I just got out of a defamation lawsuit.
You did.
Yeah.
Personally.
I lost. Yeah. Well, it was dismissed. I didn't lose. It was dismissed.
You were suing them?
Yeah.
For defaming you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was a waste of $200,000.
I'm so sorry.
But you live and you learn. And
what light can you shed on this? Like, why did you lose? Because I think also a lot of people on when it comes to this, there's the court case that we're following.
Right.
And then there's the story of the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp relationship.
Right.
And as it relates to this court case, those are two very different things.
Right. Right?
Because Johnny Depp is suing Amber Heard for defamation. He's choosing. Johnny Depp wanted this trial.
Right.
It's my understanding that Amber Heard and her team tried to get this dismissed four separate times. So, and she didn't want this trial. He did. And it's not like they were, they weren't both brought in here by like the government.
Right.
This is not like a trial, like no one's going to jail after
right.
this. This
totally.
Is Johnny Depp wanting this to happen to get what I assume his side out. So you have experience in this.
Yeah.
What other than you were, it sounds like you regret it. What was your biggest takeaway and what did you learn about this and how are you seeing this trial differently as a result?
I actually don't regret it because I stood up for myself. I felt like I was taking just like a lot and I stood up for myself. So ultimately, like, if nothing else, that's what I got out of it.
Who did you sue?
One of my castmates on the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was dismissed because I personally think it was, you know, the state of Florida. I had to sue her in the state of Florida. And they just look at things very differently. But I think the judge didn't feel like I proved malice. Like she purposefully spread rumors and lies. You know what I mean?
So it's the intent that in that. So yeah. They weren't even arguing whether she did it or not.
Correct.
It was she didn't mean to ruin your life, so to speak.
Correct. So it was dismissed.
Interesting.
But for Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, I mean, I'm pretty sure he lost every single one of his deals except for Dior.
But it also, I think you make an interesting point. I think it's relevant in
right.
this case because, I mean, it's my TikTok For You page is a lot of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. And there's a lot of lawyers. I don't know anything about these lawyers or their qualifications, but they're self-identified lawyers, like giving insight from the legal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a handful of takes suggesting that they don't think Johnny should win, not because of who they believe, but more based off of there doesn't seem to be enough evidence to suggest that her op-ed could be directly linked to his demise or that it was malice.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree with it either, but again, I'm not from a lawyer standpoint, it just seems like the burden of proof seems to really fall on
the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel. Yeah. And also, it's really hard too because it varies from state to state. So the laws and what you have to prove are a little bit different. And I feel like the same case that they fight in California could be very different in New York. And the outcome could be different in Texas. And the outcome could be different in Florida. And that's super frustrating too.
And it sounds like that because it's in Virginia, this trial?
Yeah, it's in Fairfax County.
And
Virginia?
Because that's where the servers of the publication who Amber wrote the 2018 article, like that is the center of this trial. The
right.
servers are located there. So that is why it is there.
I also heard, and I don't know if this is true, but to Kale's point, the defamation laws are a little bit more lenient in Virginia than they are in other states. Like the burden of proof, I don't think is as difficult. And I think they have different laws around, like, this is a jury trial.
Right.
And in your case, it sounds like it was at least decided by the judge who dismissed it, or was there still a jury trial?
Mine didn't end up going to the jury trial because opposing counsel filed an anti-slap motion, which is essentially like, she didn't defame me, I'm trying to silence her freedom of speech.
Hmm.
So not all states recognize them in the same way or have that.
That is really interesting. But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of parallels between this case, and it seems like Virginia seems to be specifically chosen. And again, I don't know what Virginia's laws are, but to your point,
yeah.
There are different laws in different states, and it seems like it might be more in favor, or the burden of proof is like easier in Virginia.
Makes sense.
But it seems like the support seems to be going more in Johnny's direction. Is that?
I mean, when I'm watching them, I would say I support Johnny.
Yeah.
Which surprises me. I didn't know that people were saying he shouldn't win.
Well, again, I think lawyers are saying that as it relates to the defamation. Again,
like from a legal standpoint.
Okay. And I think when it comes to people watching this trial, I don't think most people are really giving a shit or caring about like that.
Right.
I think also they just, you know, someone who doesn't have any, like, I don't know a lot about defamation cases or how it all works. So I think and Elizabeth mentioned this last week, where what we're hearing is different than what like the jury's hearing too.
Right.
And I think we often, like, we're watching a lot of clips from the trial, but we're also being inundated with a bunch of information outside of what's going on. And I don't know if we even know what's what. I mean, right. I don't, right? There's so much out there. And it's just like, we hear these tapes, et cetera, but was this shown to the jury? Is it not shown? Like, something could be inadmissible. So there is that.
But Johnny's so funny when he answers the questions. He has, like, I don't want to call it condescending, but just like a very funny way of answering all the questions.
It's like, just very, like, dry and to the point. Yeah. Like, someone was like, would you say, like, you started drinking at this hour, or you, like, drank early? And he was always like,
isn't it happy hour?
Happy hour somewhere. Yeah. No. You know, like, it's just very, like,
it's a bit tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, yes. Like, they asked him, is this your signature, like, 4 or 5 different times?
Yeah.
And he's like, the same signature that you asked me the last 3 times? Yes, that's my signature.
Oh my God, I saw this compilation of the lawyer being like, did I get that correct?
Oh yeah, did I get that right?
Did I read that right? Yeah.
Or the hearsay?
Yeah.
It was the hearsay one where Johnny Depp was like learning about what hearsay was, because at first he didn't know.
Yeah.
So the way he was answering the questions was, I guess, technically
hearsay.
Hearsay.
Yeah.
You know? So Johnny was kind of, I guess, endearingly, like, answering that way. And it just raises an interesting point, because, like, that's the problem I guess I have with this overall trial, is because you are talking about these major celebrities, and then you bring in fandom into the equation. And I do think we need to be careful with that, because our love for Johnny and or Amber Heard shouldn't play a role in terms of how we feel about the case, but it's also impossible not to have it play a role.
I agree. Although I will say, I had no idea who Amber Heard was prior to this.
Really?
I had no clue.
Yeah, me neither.
I might live under a rock, but
she is a fairly, I mean, she's not Johnny Depp A-list celebrity, but she's been in some big movies.
Like what?
Aquaman.
Too. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen that 100 times. What character did
she play?
She's
the queen, like, she's the, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's
what? Okay.
She's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I will say, I first heard of her as well as Johnny Depp's wife, mm-hmm, long before, but anyway.
Well, it's interesting also because it's like, in taking the thinking about fandom and how that exists prior to this case, it's like, in court, there are character witnesses. So it's like, it's confusing as well, because it's not like it's completely out of pocket to take into account someone's persona beyond, like, the strict facts of the case and the way they exist in the courtroom in the moment.
Right.
But then when you add celebrity to it and you have, like, stan culture and this kind of, like, frothing at the mouth, like, tribalism fandom, it's like, it gets muddy really quickly.
You know, what I've learned, whether it's watching The Bachelor or following pop culture or just in life, you know what really seems to trigger people more than anything is that feeling misled or tricked by people.
Right.
You know, when people watch The Bachelor, no one on the show gets more hate than someone who presented themselves as a good person only to be portrayed as a bad person, like, through the edit. So it's just like, we thought you were a good, it happens a lot in Paradise when you have, like, oh, we loved you. And then it's the Tyra Banks, we were rooting for you type of, like, energy.
Rooting for you.
Yeah. And I think just when we feel led on by someone, especially someone who we thought was, like, a role model of some kind, someone we looked up to, and then we learn about a behavior that makes us feel quite the opposite, I think our level of hatred or just,
like,
feeling,
animosity
towards that person is magnified times 10.
Yeah, because of the perceived betrayal of it.
Yeah, and I think, and when you look at this trial, I think that's where a lot of the focus is on, is because Amber Heard wrote this op-ed for the Washington Post and essentially propped herself up as
a victim.
Not only a victim, but like a figurehead in the Me Too movement, so to speak. And now, with all this information coming to light, we are learning that Amber Heard is, while she still could be a victim of emotional and physical abuse,
sure,
she also seems to be a per- it's what's clear is that she's clearly a perpetrator. From what I understand from the information that's out there, like Johnny Depp has said some horrid things.
Right.
To and about Amber Heard, which I, again, as not a therapist, I would say that sounds emotionally abusive
right.
at times. Like, he doesn't seem like he is without some fault here.
Sure.
But when it comes to Amber, it's like she's admitted to physical violence. Like, it still seems unclear. Mm-hmm. It seems like he said, she said, when it comes to whether Johnny ever laid a hand on Amber Heard.
Right.
Unless I'm missing something, there doesn't seem to be hard evidence that would suggest that he has physically laid a hand on her, but there is evidence, like a lot of evidence that suggests that she has.
Including her own admission on a tape.
More than anything, yes, her own admission. She was once arrested before she ever dated Johnny Depp for hitting her ex-girlfriend, so she even has a documented history of domestic abuse.
What was the makeup that came out?
Oh, Milani. Oh,
then there was that, right? So then there's her lawyer said, like, this was the makeup kit that Amber Heard used to cover up mm-hmm. bruises that she claimed were given to her by Johnny Depp. And then the
Milani
makeup company, like, did this whole viral TikTok that said, we didn't make this until 2017. And she was claiming to using this in 2016, which, you know, on one level, I think to myself, maybe she confused the makeup kit.
No, probably not.
You also, like, it's at best, it just shows that your facts are, you're confusing your perceived facts. And so either you're lying or you just are you're misremembering certain things. And if you're someone who can so easily misremember something, you're less likely to be, you combine that with the fact that she's done all these things, it gets a little messy. But my concern is it doesn't mean that Johnny Depp hasn't done things wrong either.
But it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Yeah.
And if they can't prove it, I think it's really sad though. I think if you're using makeup to cover bruises, that's trauma. You're going to remember what you used.
It's,
in my opinion.
Yeah. And I just wonder, there's obviously a lot of women who have been victims of domestic abuse, and it seems like there's a lot of anger and animosity towards Amber Heard because it will have long-term ramifications on people who need to be believed.
Do they have kids together?
No.
No, he has them from a previous relationship.
I wonder how his kids are doing.
Well, a big part of what he seemed, you know, is like, why did he come forward? Which I do think is interesting. On some level, do we take into account the fact that, like, Johnny Depp wanted this trial? And he must have known that some of these ugly things that he has said and done would come up.
Yeah.
And it seems like Johnny Depp said, fuck it. I would rather have people hear that things I am ashamed of and need to apologize for and think of me as someone who has said some, like, potentially verbally abusive things versus I've hit a woman before. And it's like he chose lesser of two evils.
It goes back to the Mike Tyson thing though, right? Like, at what point do you fight back? Like, at what point do you stand up and defend yourself? And, you know, the cost of that is him having the verbal, you know, the verbal abuse come out. But I mean, we're talking about his whole entire career.
Yeah.
His kids are 20 and 22. And that was actually one thing that he cited as a key reason for why he was proceeding with this trial, was wanting his kids to not have to respond to false allegations about him as an abuser. And so it's very...
like a wife beater.
Yeah. It's like his whole personal life is just getting, like, so exposed and ripped apart. And then there's also, like, there's so many nuanced elements of this, like, where there's the fact that both Amber and Johnny are coming from households where they experienced abuse as children. There's also the substance use of it all.
I don't know if they're showing this stuff in court, but they had a lot of, like, their phone calls recorded.
Yeah.
And at one point he reached a level of frustration with Amber and he was like, I'll see you in court. He was like, I never said what you said I did. Like, I never did that. I'll see you in court.
And also I've seen recordings of multiple recordings of him pleading with her, being like, you can't hit me. and saying, like, at some point I'm going to respond to you, back to the Mike Tyson thing, where it's just like, at some point I'm going to defend myself and escalate. You know, like, if you get talked to a certain way, like, you can be a calm person, but at some point you match people's energy.
Right.
And we talked about this last week. Like, I think that it was a wrong to say, like, I don't know what, like, we referred to it as mutual abuse, which probably is a wrong way of phrasing that. But what happens, it's pretty common, I think, in relationships, not necessarily the physical aspect. When we think about our young loves, our early relationships, we all have been guilty of yelling at each other and fighting. And is that just two toxic people? But, like, how do you hold the individual accountable when you, I guess,
engage in it as well?
And you engage in it as well.
With the dynamic. Yeah.
I don't know that you can, because you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. If you're both basically saying fuck you and name calling and using inappropriate language and belittling one another, like, does it matter who started it to a certain point or no? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer.
And it's like, but you recognize the wanting, like, you want to remove yourself from a situation, but sometimes, you know, people will say, well, it's not as easy to remove yourself from a situation.
Yeah. And I think when there is a situation where it's like this dynamic is so toxic and you have two participants in it, it's worth considering, like, the power dynamics that exist, both kind of in the relationship and then also within the toxicity of it. Because I think so often when we talk about domestic violence as it takes place with women in households, not on like this large celebrity scale, there's the element of, you know, women oftentimes still primarily being tasked with taking care of kids in a lot of relationships, and how they might not have the financial freedom to leave, and how that power dynamic can really influence the context with which there is this toxicity. And so it's really, and it's, there's so much context and it's so confusing and it's so hard to parse through all of the various things and assign blame to people,
right,
while also holding accountability. It's just like, it's a mess.
Yeah. Well,
then there was the tape of Johnny moaning in agony while detoxing from his self-identified opiate addiction. And my understanding is that Johnny Depp accused her of withholding his medication that was prescribed to him by his doctor to help him get through his detox.
Like a Suboxone or something like that?
Some sort of either pain relief or whatever while he was going through this detox.
Okay.
And as his wife was his primary caregiver, so she was responsible for giving this medication, of which he claimed that she was withholding. Like, psychological, like, if that's true, that's torture.
That's so, mm-hmm. What a weird, you gotta be sick to do something like that. I just feel like, what kind of power or ego trip was she dealing with?
I don't know. And again, that's like, so I don't know if that's also proven. That is alleged accusation from Johnny Depp. I don't know if there's actual proof. There was a tape of him moaning.
I don't feel like you could make that up. And I'm not even a huge Johnny Depp fan, but that's just like so weird to come up with.
And if that is true, boy, I mean, whatever, like, That can mess with someone's brain, psychology. And
that's traumatic.
And if he, yes. And so, like, do we all, if he said any of these nasty things about Amber Heard after that, do we look at it differently as a result of him literally being tortured by her, if it's true? Because that would be torture.
I don't know. I feel like I would give him some forgiveness for that.
Yeah. And it is kind of, it's just a wild, wild case, but I...
Yeah, and it's so triggering to so many people. And I think it's hard because in even trying to unpack it, you're asking questions and like kind of what you were saying before about how this, like, I think there's a real fear that this is going to undo some progress that we've made in terms of like believing victims of abuse, specifically women, of like, in order to unpack this, you have to scrutinize people.
Right.
In a way that is, I think, really unbecoming when you're talking about violence, especially sexual violence, because you don't want survivors to feel sort of like interrogated. It, like, you know, it's obviously an incredibly tender subject that you want to approach with a lot of care,
But in order to parse through all of this stuff, you have to ask those questions. And I don't know. It's like, I feel really uncomfortable talking about it because I feel like it's just like really uncomfortable for me. Like portraying Amber Heard as
like a villain,
the bad guy, because you don't want her to be perceived as like the rule, when in fact it seems maybe like she's more of the exception in terms of like a victim who might be coming forward and making claims that are false.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uncomfortable conversation to try to have. But for someone who, knowing she was a perpetrator of domestic abuse, because that's like irrefutable at this point, is it not?
So I was married and I pushed my ex-husband. And then I got in another relationship afterwards and he was abusive towards me. And I felt like I have felt up until this point like I can't talk about that because I pushed my ex-husband in 2012. So it's hard because it's like, okay, yeah, I did do that. I've owned it. I've talked about it. I've apologized for it. So now I can't, I have been, I guess you could call that, you know, abusive. And then I turn around. You get what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
And I can't talk about the abuse in my most recent relationship because of that.
That's an interesting point, too. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And, you know, we mentioned that Amber Heard was arrested for hitting an ex-girlfriend. That doesn't mean...
that she hasn't been abused after that.
By Johnny Depp.
Right.
But it's, people do use it as, like, data points. Even us discussing the Mike Tyson thing, like, be like, oh, well, the guy that he punched did have an arrest for this. Like, it's, like, all these data points of what people bring to these conversations.
Right.
I guess it's just more the fact that she's on tape admitting to hitting Johnny Depp. For her to have written this op-ed and kind of propping herself up as someone that other, specifically women victims, could look up to as someone who gives them a sense of courage and purpose, like, in, you know, just feel like you're not alone.
Right.
To know that in this specific relationship where she was she never named Johnny Depp, but it was clear who she was talking about. Yeah, I think you just feel really betrayed.
She already had an arrest record at that point. So
apparently,
that's...
yeah. But to your point, like, you're like, just because she, like, who knows the context? I mean, it's never okay.
Right, never.
You know, but it doesn't mean you're not it doesn't completely, like...
one doesn't cancel out the other.
Yeah. So it is very messy. Shanti, you've been following this case, and is this something you're comfortable talking about? But you've talked about with us that you're a survivor of domestic abuse.
Yeah, I do feel extremely comfortable talking about it because it's an uncomfortable situation. And, you know, I was in a violent relationship when I was much younger. And it was hard to get out. And just like Kale said, you do feel like if you did do anything to that person as well, then maybe you don't have justification to then say, I was a victim of domestic violence. And it took me a lot of years to realize that it wasn't my fault, but there are two sides to the story. And you're right. We all do want to kind of, you know, defend Amber or not defend Amber, but you also look at it like, Johnny is guilty as well. But as a victim and a survivor of domestic violence, I do have a tendency to think that Amber might be a little bit more guilty. And I'm just saying that as my opinion, because it does seem like she's more of an aggressor. And just like you guys are saying, I don't think that Johnny's completely innocent in this, but I do think that there's so far been a lot of evidence that really shows. And I'd like her to be a spokesperson, but I don't feel like she really can be a spokesperson for someone like myself who was in a domestic violence relationship. I don't feel like she is the right spokesperson for those who have survived domestic violence.
How does it make you feel being a survivor, having heard some of this testimony? Like, do you have a specific feeling towards this case?
I do, because so far, based on the evidence, it seems like she was very violent. Like, she really hurt him a lot. Words are one thing, and words can be bad. But so far, based on this, you know, he's got a finger that's damaged. Like, he seems to have had more of the physical abuse and the emotional abuse than she. But it still has to come out, right? And it's all very triggering. You know what I mean? I'm big enough to admit that when I was in a relationship, just like Kale said, did I push back a couple of times? Absolutely. But he was more violent, and I'm the one who was strangled on the neck and hit in the stomach. And you know what I mean? So as the aggressor, yeah, did I do a couple of things that were wrong? Did I antagonize him? Possibly, but I was still hurt more. And so far, based on the evidence, you know, normally you're right. You do want to kind of, even though it's sexist, you do want to kind of back the female. But so far, I feel like she was more the aggressor and he was trying as much as he can to not hurt her back. He said awful things via text. But again, like, you can also journal those things. As long as you don't actually do them, it's not as bad.
Yeah. My lawyer told me, don't ever send a text that you can't read on a witness stand.
Yeah.
Changed my life. Smart. Because you just never know when they're going to come up.
Totally.
Shanti, thank you for sharing. I think this is Shanti's first time talking on the show.
Aww.
Anyways, we thank you for being so vulnerable about it. But yeah, I just think that's, I think that's the biggest takeaway. I think it's just a really sad situation because it just seems like this, while so many people are consuming this trial, it just seems like it's not, it's going to do more harm than good. I think the only one maybe positive takeaway is I think it does shine a light on, you know, from a guy's standpoint about like that domestic abuse, specifically like verbal abuse, like, and physical abuse can happen the other direction. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, I know that a lot of guys feel uncomfortable even acknowledging that or that they were treated a certain way, whether it's fear that people won't believe them. And I know that's something all women who have been victimized deal with too. It's just, I think any victim worries that whether they're going to believe. And then if you're a guy, there's that thought of like, don't be a pussy, you can take it kind of thing. And I do think there is a positive aspect of creating conversations around that topic of, it's okay for a guy to speak up and say, like, I don't want to be talked to this way. And it's something I mentioned last week, not in any way, not in any abusive situation, but like, I've gotten better in the little bit, like, when you're dating someone, it's just that's your person. Right. So it's just common when you're hangry or tired or frustrated and they're next to you to just, you know, talk to them in a frustrated manner that seems unjustified to that person.
Right.
And I think in the past, when my girlfriends were just in a bad mood or whatever, they would like, you know, oh, you're just an asshole or whatever. And I remember as a young man, I would just take it. I would just be like, ha ha ha. Or like, it's okay to talk to me that way because as I've gotten older, I've learned to say, you know, and I don't like, Nally doesn't talk to me that way, but even once in a while, if someone's in a bad mood, you just say, hey, you can be in a bad mood and I'm here for you, but like, please don't speak to me this way.
Right.
And I've gotten better at saying that. And it's really helped my relationships because it's one of those things in the past, I used to just let it slide, only for it to start bothering me. And then when I would bring it up, it was like, what are you talking about? And it just became too much, as opposed to just saying, hey, we can be upset, you know? And like, I think it's okay for people in relationships to say, hey, so please like focus on the energy you're bringing. And it's not that it's abusive or anything. It's just like, it feels uncalled for on the receiving end sometimes. And I do think there's like a positive takeaway, I guess, is a healthy dialogue around that. But other than that, it's a real messy, messy thing.
I will be so curious to see how it turns out, because I just feel like in lawsuits, you just literally never know which way it's going to go. Like, you could feel like you have a slam dunk case. I mean, I have brought defamation cases to my attorneys multiple times, and they always told me no, 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 no. Brought this one against my castmate, and they were like, yes, we got this.
And you still
And I lost. Well, I didn't lose. It was dismissed, but I mean, same thing. It's essentially a loss, you know? So I would just be so curious if, you know, we're kind of all...
Well, it also begs the question, like, I think maybe part of the reason that Johnny Depp might have proceeded with this case is like the public perception.
Right.
And like, of course, there is like the financial aspect. There is being vindicated like in a court of law. But even from what we're hearing so far, there's been this mass versus before where like I had like a vague thought of Johnny Depp as a wife beater. And now I am learning so much more about this relationship. So the question is like, how much of it is even about the specific outcome of the trial versus just like
principle.
The truth being and like being heard on a large scale.
And that was my takeaway from mine, was it was the principle. I'm standing up for myself. So I care less about the dollar. I care less about the amount, but it's like, I'm going to stand up for what's not true. You're not going to spread this about me. And I feel like he also, it's probably about principle for him to some degree.
I don't think he gives a fuck about whether he
wins or loses.
Yeah, but I think it's, yeah, exactly to like both of your points. Like right. Now everyone, I think we, at least me, like I was like, oh, case closed, Johnny Depp's a bad person. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
we're like, we had this view of him. And now even the fact that people are, you know, stepping back and evaluating both sides. And I think from what we've seen and heard, a lot of people are leaning towards
Johnny.
Him now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really not about the money.
No.
I also think like the degree to which it is like ugly and toxic and it is being like ripped apart and viewed in the public eye. Like so often these like most unbecoming moments that we experience, like, you are so shrouded in shame because it's like really upsetting both for you or your partner to admit like the depths of depravity you've gone to, like the crazy things you said. And I think there is something about, and of course, like in so many ways, these are not normal people. There is like a scale of like detachment from real society.
Right.
But seeing just how toxic it is and actually getting those messages, I think on some level for anybody who's ended up in a really bad situation, I think it's almost, I don't want to say like validating, but like just like seeing those messages, I think, sort of expose something that we so often never, never, never get to see.
I wonder if those messages and the things that he's admitted to, like any of his fault, will actually impact like his career more or the same as her accusations in the first place. Because, you know, he lost so much.
Yeah.
Will he lose more? Will he get any of them back?
Well, he kind of has lost it all other mm-hmm. than, you said,
the Dior. I think, yeah.
I feel like her career is done. And I actually could see him getting work again as time passes because, yeah. And I don't even know if this is right, but the sentiment of, I think a lot of people is this room, which is, I just took Amber Heard's accusations at face value. Mm-hmm. I wanted to believe her. I now have found out that she like physically abused him. It's on there to date. There's no hard evidence that he did physically abused her. And in fact, like some of these, like this makeup kit would suggest that maybe she's not completely truthful. And I think there's a lot of internal, like feeling bad for casting judgment on a person now that we now wonder is innocent. And I think that's where a lot of people watching the trial, I think that's where most of their energy is going. And I think we all love a redemption story just in general.
Right.
And I think
He has more room to redeem himself than she does.
Right. I think people, because of their guilt of assuming the worst in him and then backtracking, allows people to want to see him have this comeback.
Right.
At least some people.
I agree with you.
I think there's a great... Not all people, whether he deserves it or not, remains to be seen. But I do think just the overall public perception and the fact that he is Johnny Depp.
I want to know how they pick the jury for this because everyone right? knows who Johnny Depp is.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. I was like, this has got to be, I mean, like, I'm assuming the jury is like sequestered away. Like, yeah. This is like a big.
Sequestered away from where?
Like, I don't know, from media. You know what I mean? Like, they can take a jury
information.
And like, put them in hotels. Yeah.
But
like,
are they allowed to know who Johnny Depp is?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think so,
okay,
right?
So yeah. They can know who Johnny Depp is, but not
how
information
you,
about the... Like,
it's just
I don't
the
know.
Case.
I'm like, yeah. Are they
same
being...
for the Blac Chyna and Kim Kardashian mm-hmm. or Kris Jenner. Like, how do you pick...
Yeah. I don't think they're supposed to, like... You know, they're not supposed to be, like, going on... Like, all the things that we're following, like...
But they're allowed to know who the people are.
To your point, how would they... not know to it, like how could they? I'm sure you could find to a certain extent, but like
we gotta really dig.
Yeah,
that would be so weird,
but that does play a role.
Yeah,
for sure. I want to pose a question. I thought about this the other day, like with social media being what it is and people being, it's so easy to just tweet anything and say anything and throw out an accusation. And historically, as we now know, especially from your past, like defamation cases are hard to prove
mm-hmm.
And the laws around them. Do we need to change those laws at all?
Yes.
And like, it's so easy to say, like, should we change laws where if you're going to throw out an accusation about someone and it's then later on proved that either you were like you did a poor job or lazy job reporting on it, whatever, if like... Does that, not only defamation, should there be laws around that?
Well, I think the burden of proof is on the wrong person. That's for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be laws changed because it's just like anyone can say anything and just be like, oh, that's just what I heard. And they're still allowed to spread that rumor. Like, what?
But what if I say, what if the opposing argument would be that's going to make it harder for, say, victims to come forward if they're faced with the possibility of like being charged with a crime or a financial penalty because the person they accused had more means to defend themselves and it's not what happened, it's what you can prove, so to speak, right? Right. There could be that argument, but we are living in a world where it is so easy to just say shit mm-hmm. right now.
Well,
we live in a world.
Think about the whole, I mean, obviously not on the same scale, but the Clayton of it all. I slept with Clayton last night. Suddenly we realize it's not Clayton at all, but that went viral.
Yeah.
Everyone was suddenly thinking Clayton was this awful person who was cheating on Susie.
And what if like Susie wasn't the queen that she is, who's like patient and calm and understanding? What if it affected their relationship and they broke up? What if this came out at a time where they were fighting about, like, I don't know, how much jelly should go on a peanut butter sandwich? It was a stupid fight that they just had a bad day. This came out, Susie left, and in a moment of weakness, kissed a guy at a bar, which wouldn't make it okay, wouldn't justify it, but like it all kind of happened because mm-hmm. this shit came out and they were a little bit rocky, and ultimately it affected their relationship. That's affecting someone's life. And what if it affected, you know, both of their potential to earn more money? You know, like, it is a privilege to go on a reality TV show and get a following, and no one's like, none of us deserve the earning potential that comes with it. But at the same time, like, does that mean you have the right to just be so careless to go on a TikTok and like make up a story just because whether she was drunk or he was drunk and there was some lying? And there just seems to be so little accountability, whether it was malice or not. Like, if the only...
Like, go correct it. If you found out later, like if you spread misinformation and you find out later that it was misinformation, correct it. Hey, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Take it back. You know, like, hold yourself accountable.
But even if you do, no one hears the correction as much as they hear the accusation.
This is true.
But even that whole thing too, it's like when Susie and Clayton have talked about it, like this girl said she reached out to Susie. She tried to tell Susie first, but she waited like an hour, maybe two, and Susie didn't answer because she didn't see the DM, and then she makes this video for everyone to see. Yeah. I'm like, what are we trying to gain here?
I just think in a world where you have cancel culture and then you also have things like the Me Too movement, and you still have just an overwhelming number of just victims who need to be believed, and just in general, we need to believe victims more than we are. It should be easier for people who are violated in any way to come forward about an experience that happened to them. And I think the laws, interestingly enough, are set up in a way where it allows people to lie without ramifications. So now that will make it harder to believe victims.
Well,
right?
It's also because, and like so often we talk about this as believe women, and this is an area where it's incredibly hard to gather statistics on it. But the statistics that they have gathered show that men are more likely to be sexually assaulted than they are to be falsely accused. So it's a matter of when we talk about like kind of this, yes, of course, like there is absolutely a place and we need to talk about specifically the way this violence impacts women, but this also is violence that impacts everybody.
Well, to your point though, is that because there's so many women who are victims by men, right, there's more men who are perpetrators but wrongfully accused. But when someone is wrongfully accused, back to our original point, people hate that so much. Like, you know what it reminds, like, one of the first movies I ever saw as a kid that was an adult movie was the movie The Fugitive. Are you guys familiar with that movie?
No.
Love that movie. It's a Harrison Ford movie. It's older. Like, it's one of those things. Shanti's giving me a thumb. I fucking love that movie. First time I saw that, and it's about a doctor who was wrongfully accused of murdering his wife, and he was sentenced to the death penalty. And in the beginning of the movie, he escapes, and then he's a fugitive, and he's trying to prove his innocence throughout the movie. And I saw this movie as like a 9-year-old, right? Like 9 or 10. And it's the first memory I have of feeling anxiety. I remember watching it and feeling like, oh my God, you could be wrongfully accused of something. Like you could be sentenced to death for something you didn't do. And I just remember so vividly that feeling I felt of true anxiety as a child.
Yeah.
And ended up being one, like, I still, it's a great movie, but I think that's a relatable feeling for people. The idea you could be so wrongly accused, back to like you saying, even though more men are sexually assaulted than who are falsely accused, but when it does happen, it becomes such a big story, right? That it has it's almost giving too much like attention, because the idea of people being falsely accused is something like everyone I think relates to that fear of being falsely accused about anything.
I have four boys and I think about that all the time. I'm like, what if my kids, like, what would we do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
And it's just like, and I think that feeling is something that is very relatable. So when it does happen, like in this particular trial, we tend to focus on it too much, which then makes it
we try to apply this widely when it's something that is only applicable to a very, very small percentage of cases.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is I agree with Kale that I think that we should figure out a way to hold people more accountable, so that the idea being is when people come forward, they're coming forward for a reason, because like the opposite would be if they're lying, they could serve a big penalty for it and they're coming forward anyways. I mean, this is so nuanced, and like we don't know how it could be done, but right. It seems like there should be discussions about that because it's almost having an adverse effect on the people who truly need to be believed. It can be easy for people, and whether it's domestic abuse or just trying to get attention, like, you know, the Clayton story had nothing to do with domestic abuse. It had to do with just infidelity and cheating, but like that played, still, that had an impact on people's lives.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it affected how people look at Clayton, his reputation. Yeah.
There are thousands of people out there thinking that Clayton has cheated on Susie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they saw that TikTok and saw nothing else and just kind of moved on with their
lives.
And
even though they're fine,
yeah,
they'll still think that he did that.
And it's just like, it's a weird thing. So how do we, you know, create an environment in a social media age where anyone can pick up their phone and tell a story, whether it's satirical or a false accusation, whether it's they know they're lying or they are just kind of more reckless, and it's just a really messy thing.
I think more people want to see others fail than people want to see others do well. And so I don't think that we'll ever actually be able to have those changes, because people never want to see someone else doing better than them. So as long as there's more of those people, we're never going to see changes.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, how both of you, who have surely like been on the receiving end of a ton of really like hateful like floods of DMs, like, how do you make sense of like someone choosing to send those messages? I know you don't try not to read them, but like, what is your mentality in terms of like making sense of why someone would take the time to like write such atrocious things to you?
I mean I've been in therapy twice a week for the past 2.5 years. At this point, I understand that it's like projecting, right? Yeah. Like, it really is them hating themselves, unfortunately. But it took me a long time to get here. I used to cry all the time. Like, what? Like, why? But there really is like, the trolls definitely stand out louder than like the positive comments and the positive. I don't know if it's the same for you, but
my therapy is generally centered around my ability to focus on what matters and not try to focus on things that don't matter, specifically around trolls or people. And honestly, I had a really bad day yesterday because someone who, like, you know, has a podcast who like just fucking hates me, which is fine. You're allowed to hate me.
Totally.
But like, it's someone who like hates that I like have my advice, like Ask Nick show, where it's just like, I take a lot of pride and I try to do it right. And I try to be respectful of the fact that, like, even though I constantly say like, I'm not an expert and like, don't, I'm just someone's opinion. Like, don't take this as
right.
But like, I know that like they don't listen to my show. I know it's like their reaction based off the show. But like, some of the things they said about me in terms of like was like, it just bothered me. And then they made me call a friend to just check in and be like, am I doing it right? Or am I doing it wrong? And is it like, and it was just some random person who, to your point, I know it's a projection, but like sometimes. It gets through my kind of, like that barrier I've learned to put up. It penetrates that logical thought of like, it's not me, it's them, and I can't, but it's just like, what if other people feel this way? And what am I
it's almost like the opposite of words of affirmation, right? Like the idea behind words of affirmation, you read good things about yourself or other people that you'll believe them, right? But when you're constantly reading hate comments or you have that one person that doesn't ever give up, you start to question yourself and how, you know, is that how other people view me? Is that how a lot of people view me? Is it just that one person or is it all these people? You know, like it breaks you down. And I don't.
Yeah. Well, I went down a rabbit hole because this one person has a very small following and their response, like other people were like, yeah, I fucking hate them too or whatever, which is like, I know there's more than like one person doesn't like me. Like and then other people would say, hey, like, it's good to have critics. It means that you're doing things right because you get reached to a certain level where some people just enjoy disagreeing with you.
Right.
Like it's a thing. And
a weird thing, but a thing.
But nevertheless, it was just like, it truly ruined my day. Like it was like,
I'm sorry.
I almost wanted to call Darlene.
I love Darlene.
I was just like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like most of the time I'll just talk about it with Natalie and she's always really good at it. Of like talking like me down off the ledge. And I'm good at therapy is giving me the tools to get myself better at talking myself off the ledge where I don't like ruminate and like have it ruin my own day. But every once in a while, just like it's stuck knowing it's just like, I don't want to do this wrong.
Right.
You know? And it can be really, can be a thing.
I can relate. Definitely can relate. I don't think when I signed up for reality TV that I knew that aspect was going to come with it because I don't think that it would have such an impact if we weren't on reality TV and we weren't in the public eye. Like we wouldn't focus on it so much, you know, like it wouldn't hold so much weight, I don't think.
Yeah. Cause I also like, I don't know how you feel about from your end and the things that like you talk about, but like, I also recognize that like if you don't listen to like the Ask Nick, if you don't regularly listen to the show, I suppose on some level you think to yourself, this fucking guy from The Bachelor who I've truly fucking hated, who I saw be petulant or whatever, is now like giving advice to women? Are you fucking kidding me? And like I get that, you know, but it's like something. Like, I don't know how you feel, but there's a part, like my most toxic side wants to like sit down with every person who doesn't like me and try to convince them that I'm not a bad guy.
Yeah. No, I'm the same exact way. I actually got an offer for Catfish, Trolls Edition. And I wanted to meet my trolls on the show, but they all declined.
I relate to that feeling so bad.
I just want to tell me why you hate me. Just tell me. Yeah. Like, I want to understand, like, what is the underlying, the root of
they
the
declined.
Problem. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised.
Yeah. And they were offered, like, I think it was, like, $1,000 for filming. And they were all like, why would we take 2 days off of work to film with you? And I was just like, y'all hate me so bad. Say it to my face. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had some, I was just like, I spent an entire afternoon thinking about this person. I don't know who they are. And it like, I find it embarrassing for myself that like the energy I gave to this person.
Do you ever talk back to them? Like you ever respond?
Oh, no, I try not to. I mean, if I like on social.
Yeah.
When you first said that, I thought like in my head and I was like.
Yeah, of course.
Boy, do I.
I was like,
it's
honey,
a fucking
like,
trial in here.
You know how many times Natalie goes, what are you guys talking about? And by guys, like whoever I is, I'm like, I'm in the middle of a discussion with somebody.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's like a thing we now joke about because I often look crazy, but yeah.
Okay.
But I try not to engage.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I'll respond with like, I try to kill with kindness.
Right. Hope you're well.
Hope you're well. Thanks for listening.
My favorite is when they act like they have like a degree and a family and they're so happy. And I'm like, happy people don't do this. Happy people do not do this.
But in reality, they're like I think often working professionals who are quite educated and
but they're miserable.
And like they use like they think because they maybe they're lawyers or maybe they're whatever and there's a level of intelligence, but they also are
miserable.
Major fans.
Yeah.
And miserable. And it's like a weird thing.
But I feel like I've been there. I feel like I've been in a place where I wasn't super happy, but like I would say I was happy and I didn't know until I actually was happy. And I was like, oh, that's why I did those things. Like, you know what I mean? Like they don't realize how miserable they actually are.
Yeah. But I do think bring this full circle. I don't know if there ever will be laws that are changed, but I just, the way the internet is going, I just feel like something, either everyone needs to be verified or something where like we need to hold people accountable for the things that are just put out there because they can really impact people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, especially like trolling, like high school kids bullying each other and things like that, and harassment, suicides that are happening because of online bullying and things like that. And we have no safeguards around like holding people accountable.
Sure.
Because like you can create like a bullshit account and no one even knows it's you, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, about how like the internet is still relatively new and I think it's going to be regulated in so many ways. Like even just from like a more like capitalist standpoint, like I feel like I'm going to like be telling my grandkids, be like, yeah, you used to be able to make so many emails and just keep doing the free trial. I don't think you're going to be able to. I think they're going to crack down on like someone's like digital presence and make it so that way it's like linked in a singular way to you.
Yeah. I almost
feel like they should.
I hope they do. Yeah. But I think we are so far away because I think it's still incredibly new, even though we don't think of it that way. Still.
Right.
Selling Sunset. I know it's out. You guys are big fans. Yeah. I have yet to be able to tune in. Give us a brief, what's going on?
Have you ever seen any season?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
How much have you seen?
I've seen most of the first season. I know there's like 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And I've seen like bits of each season. And like as someone who like follows Chrishell closely and other people
She's
on the
so
show,
cute.
Like I'm very familiar with the show and the characters on it, but I'm not familiar with like the specific drama going on.
Okay.
Like, what's the major storyline of this season so far?
Well, it's picking up where season 4 ended. Mm-hmm. So season 4 was a lot of, we had 2 new women join the brokerage. Christine was pregnant, then had the baby, and she's come out since that she was dealing with a lot of like postpartum issues. But the women, like it was really Christine versus everyone else. And she was getting caught up in potentially some lies. And she shared an ex-boyfriend with one of the new girls. So they like had an ex in common. They had very different stories of
what happened,
if there was cheating, if there was time lapse, yeah, over with the two of them. Season 4 ended with like a big party with everyone, and there was kind of like this blow up between Christine and these other girls. They wanted to have like a full group confrontation, so
kind
that
of like an intervention.
Yeah, so like there was no, oh, she said, she said. They wanted everyone to talk at the same time. And Christine wanted nothing to do with it, so she basically ended season 4 one-on-one with Mary, who they used to be roommates. They started season 1 together. And Mary was like, stop lying. Like, you're not, like, what are you doing? Like, be honest with me. I'm giving you one final, like, olive branch. Christine yeeted. And then season 5 just picked up Mary and her husband, Romain, Chrishell and her boyfriend, Jason, who owns the brokerage. They were all traveling in Europe together. So they're living their best lives on vacation. It's really weird to see Chrishell and Jason
up.
Together.
First
they're
all,
now broken up, but yeah.
Right now, or in season 5, they're still together?
At the beginning, they're together. And everyone's just finding out.
And who are the new people on the show?
Emma.
Emma joined last season, as did Vanessa. Uh-huh. There's a
Emma's
new
the one who recently
Chelsea.
Came out with
the Ben Affleck story.
Yeah.
Yes. Micah is so fine.
Which one's Micah?
He is the contractor that Emma
episodes in.
You should.
Oh, is this a new character?
He's a contractor that is building these houses that I guess Emma is going to list
sexy.
For.
He's so. Is someone going to build me a home?
He's not even my type at all, but I'm like, wow, he's so attractive. I don't know. I'm only on episode 3 because I literally have to schedule my TV time. But he's so good looking. And also, I love Chrishell. I think she's the cutest.
Do you like her and Jason? Because for me, they give me weird vibes together.
It's definitely weird. I don't know that I. Yeah, it's weird.
It's just like, and it they didn't like lead us into it in any way. So like first scene is Jason being like, babe, let me get your suitcase. Like, blah, blah,
blah. How he dated somebody else before too, right?
Mary. And okay. So then Mary. He threw them a now birthday party. Chrishell. He threw Mary and Chrishell a birthday party. And I was like, you're toasting two women you've had sex with.
That's a little weird. But I guess Mary doesn't care because Mary's married.
I guess.
I need to talk to her about that when she
Mary,
comes on.
Yeah, but Mary, I feel like still benefited from being like the little darling of Jason. You know what I mean? Like their closeness. And like that was such a threat on the earlier seasons was like her getting a lot of opportunities and sort of the perception that this was linked to her romantic history. So I wonder
if Chrishell's going to get it. Well, and Christine even said that. She was like, oh, I was wondering why I wasn't getting any listings. And then I realized I'm not fucking my boss.
Do you think they actually like sell houses all year long or just for the show?
I don't know.
I think they must have started that way.
But they surely don't do that now.
But now?
I don't know.
I'll ask Mary and I'll get back
to you. There was a big thing. Didn't Chrissy Teigen call them out at like the very beginning, like season one or two? And she's like, why have I never seen any of your names on listings?
I think it was
Chrishell being like, what are you talking about? We're all real.
I know like Chrishell has been on this show and like she absolutely sells real estate. Like,
All year long, or
I don't know.
Once or twice?
I mean, like, I think the thing about real estate, you could. Does that mean you're less of a agent?
No, I don't think like, so. I just was curious if it was like an actual full time thing, or if they, you know.
Well, I mean, clearly Chrishell, and I'm most familiar with Chrishell, is that like she clearly has a bunch of things going on, and a lot of people like sell real estate as like a
side hustle.
Yeah, even and are very successful
right,
in it. Like
of course.
You can kind of pick and choose. You can reserve your time as a real estate agent to like only sell like certain premier properties with certain clients.
Right.
Where it's not something
that's kind of cool.
It's your only job. So
you could
like,
never do that in Delaware.
And also like the work that you're doing, if you're putting yourself in adjacent to like high net worth individuals, even if you're just socializing, like that is in some ways like networking and like doing things for
sure.
So there's so much that you can do to cultivate that like real estate presence that's not actually selling houses.
Well, I think too, that's like in LA or like Miami, maybe even Dallas or New York, but not like in Delaware, you have to make it pretty much your full-time thing. Like I live, the Amish are my neighbors, you know? So it's just very different.
Mm. Kale.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, we just got through a ton here.
And do I understand you guys are doing a little swap?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be on your podcast.
Yeah.
Also, as you mentioned, you have Mary coming on.
Yes.
Which I think is like a bigger deal than me.
I don't know. I feel like maybe we should just have you and her on at the same time.
Heck yeah.
I DM'd Christine yesterday to try to have her come on the podcast. Chrishell has an open invite always, and we definitely want to get some Selling Sunset cast on the show.
I don't know. If y'all want to come on at the same time, that's fine.
It's your show.
I'm good for whatever.
I'm grateful to be on your show, but when is the Mary episode coming out? You're recording it soon.
Yeah, it's this week.
You're recording it this week and probably soon. So look for that on your podcast.
Yeah, the Barely Famous podcast.
Barely Famous. Not to be confused with Almost Famous.
I didn't know that was a podcast.
It's okay.
Sorry.
A lot of podcasts out there. It's going to get hard to find a name.
Yeah, and then I like called mine the Vile Files, which I kind of regret every day.
Why? But I love it.
That's not even how you pronounce your name.
What are you talking about?
Right?
Vile.
Yeah.
Vile.
The Vile Files.
Yeah, exactly.
Vile.
Listen, I'm insecure about my last name.
Why?
What do you mean why?
It's great.
Thank you. Women I dated made me feel insecure. And then being in the public.
By being like, I'm not taking it? Like if we get married?
No, growing up. You know when like you're at any summer camp or whatever, like people like, oh, it's... people call your name. So no one got my last name right.
Okay.
And I always remember as a kid being like, how hard is it to, it's how it's Vile. It's how it's spelled. But I think Vile, right?
Okay.
I think a lot of people would overemphasize like other aspects because, or call it Vale because they thought to themselves, there's no way this last name is pronounced Vile. And I just, probably as a kid, also as a kid, I didn't know what that word meant. And when I started dating in like high school and more specifically college, women I dated would comment about like my last name. And then I was like, oh. And then I remember asking like my aunts who have the same last name and they're like, I fucking hated my last name.
Oh.
And then I got real self-conscious about my last name and what it means. And then you go on TV and then, you know, you learn about so many things. Like when you go on reality TV, as you know, you learn about all the possible ways someone can make fun of you.
Yeah.
that you were like completely unaware of. You're like, oh my God, I see it now. Oh my God. And so, yeah, I've become very self-conscious about it. And then, so what do? I put in the name of my show.
That's okay.
Own it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Vi-Fi a lot. I feel like
Vi-Fi is cute.
Vi-Fi. The Vi-Fi show?
Vi-Fi.
Vi-Fi.
I say Vi-Fi fam sometimes in the DMs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cute. There's a lot you can do with it. I do. It's fine.
People write nice DMs.
Kayla, you're an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank
for
you
having
so
me.
Much for com-
I appreciate
coming.
It.
Thanks for sharing some insight on your experience in a defamation case. I should have done more research.
No, you're
I did
fine.
Not realize that.
But don't look it up.
What a nice. Hey, like, listen, I think it's something that was obviously very personal for you, an emotional thing. It offered some great insight and perspective on this case. As most things are in the world, like, they're nuanced and they're worthy of conversations. And I guess that's what we try to do on this show. I'm always afraid when it's a sensitive topic we talked about, you know. I hope we gave it its respectful. Like, I wanted to talk about this trial without getting into the fandom of it all.
Right.
Because there's so much passion. And we live in a time where it's not like we don't tend to believe who's right or wrong. We tend to believe who we like the most. And I think that's also dangerous territory. Anyway, Kale, thank you so much.
Thank
it's
you
been
again.
A pleasure. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for Clayton and Susie, Matt King, his girlfriend Patricia, to talk a mediation, which I think will be wildly discussed. Until then, enjoy your day. See you tomorrow.